Hi, I'm Greg Lefebvre, creator and host of the Compulsive Storyteller podcast. Welcome to another segment of Pass the Mic, where once or twice a month, we invite a talented guest with a great story to join us on the pod to tell their story and or to chat with me about the art of storytelling. I am excited to introduce today's guest, Jay Akunzo. Jay is an author, speaker, and podcaster helping experts become storytellers. He's worked in marketing roles at Google, HubSpot, and ESPN, and he currently hosts the podcast How Stories Happen, where creators and communicators dissect their signature stories piece by piece. Hi, Jay. Welcome to Pass the Mic.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Just jump right into your story. You're on.
Oh, thanks. I'll give it a go. Here we go. My grandfather eyed the man who was eyeing me. I was young, probably 8, and my poppy had mentioned that we should walk down to the water while my family was waiting for a table at a local Connecticut seafood restaurant. My poppy is now 95 years old, and I'm no longer 8, if you couldn't tell. I'm 38. But this version of me today desperately needs to remember that version of me all those years ago and what I experienced then with my poppy, given the state of my professional industry and our society at large today. Down on the Connecticut shore, while my family waited for a table, my poppy and I discovered little Jay's favorite thing in the world, rocks. Well, specifically rocks piled along the water as kind of a makeshift levee, because who knows what magical creatures could lurk just out of sight. And that day, I didn't need to ask that question. There were sea creatures all along the rocks, and they were dying. The man my poppy eyed, who eventually eyed me, was just some guy who thought it'd be fun to go fishing that evening, except he kept catching these annoying little sharks. Every time he'd catch one, he'd simply toss it behind him along the rocks. Naturally, my already overactive kid brain roared into higher gear. Wait, I get to see sharks and touch them? And so, despite the man's original intentions, I turned these sharks into slimy boomerangs. He'd put them on the rocks, and I'd send them right back into the water. I would amble around the levee, responsibly returning each wiggly little fish to its home. Without so much as a glance at the fisherman, I'd approach a shark, pick it up by its tail, and slip it back into the water. The man kept catching sharks, and I kept right on throwing them back. If I wasn't with my poppy that day, I might remember this story a little bit differently. He's a Navy veteran with tattoos on his arms and recently a cane in his hand. And very appropriately, given my poppy's signature swagger, the cane has a golden eagle's head as its handle because my poppy balls hard. Back along the rocks all those years ago, Poppy was a lot more spry, and so he was ready to pounce if that fisherman moved anything more than his eyebrows in my direction. Poppy was the lone Jewish boy in an all-Italian neighborhood growing up after the Great Depression in New Haven, Connecticut, before he went off to war. He wasn't scared of a guy shaped like a pear drinking a sixer of Natty Light while he fished. And so, Cheap Beer Bill kept catching sharks with intent to kill, and I kept saving them. Did it matter? I have no idea. Did I really save them? Only until dinner. Did I earn any karma points? Only enough for the lame toys at Heaven's counter. See, Heaven is a sweet arcade. By the way, that'd be a great album name. Anyway, I have no idea if what I did mattered, but I couldn't just sit idly by and not take action. Today, I kind of feel like my career mimics that day with my poppy. Maybe you feel the same way. Over and over again, you and I watch as companies do things in plain sight that we consider terrible, and they try to justify it, but we feel in our bones that they're wrong. And we try to change it. We fight the good fight. But does it make any difference? Maybe that's not the point. Maybe the point is to live with ourselves a little bit better. Maybe the point is to know we tried our best and let the chips, or sharks, fall as they may. We spend so much time concluding things like, I can't make a difference, or that's just the cost of doing business, or, well, they're too big for my actions to matter, or, naturally, I don't have the time, the team, the budget, the permission, the skills, the reach. These thoughts only prevent us from taking action. And the more I think about this career stuff that I like to talk about through my work, the more I realize action is all a career really is. There's no finish line until we're finished. There's no winning. There's no control either, at least not when it comes to results. We can forecast and predict and plan for our businesses, for our careers, all we want, but the only things we can actually control are the actions. We can try to engineer an outcome, but the fact remains our career is built by the actions we do or don't take. So if you're trying to ensure success before acting, you'll never do anything. You might never act. But actions are what make up a thriving career. You know what I don't remember from that evening with my poppy? The face of the man fishing. But you know what we always let get in our way of taking the actions we feel are right? The judgment of others, the faces that shouldn't matter. And these days, most of them are on the internet. Some of whom, if you just glance at their profiles, you realize don't even have a face on their profile. But all those years ago, before the culture had influenced my heart and my head, I saw something that didn't feel right, and I just did something about it. Today, maybe you wouldn't throw the sharks back, but what might you do? Maybe you'd speak up about what that man was doing. Maybe in your work, you see something at your company that doesn't feel evil so much as just icky. It doesn't sit right to you. And you start working to change it. Maybe you watch the community around you simply accept a common practice that you can't stand. And you decide to say something, write something, create something to shed light on the issue and propose a better way forward. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you sit still, stay quiet, fall in line, even as you see those sharks sitting there gasping for air. All because why? Because some guy you don't care about, doing things you don't agree with, decided to glance at you? And trust me, I get it. Cheap beer Bill became cheap suit Bill, cheap social media commenter Bill, cheap shot Bill. Attacking you, attacking me, providing emotional friction between the world we experience and the world we're committed to building. At least committed in theory. Because again, it's the actions. It's the slow stooping to the ground and slipping things back into the water, which makes this story at all yours, not just mine. This week, I want to ask you to ask yourself a simple question. As you leave this small, squirmy, slippery section of this podcast, here at this tiny little outcropping of Content Rocks, you'll inevitably start thinking about your own work again. And as you do, think hard about what you feel is the common behavior around you that you can't stand, and ask yourself, what small daily things can I do to make things better? That's all we can really do in the end. Like it or not, we can't say with total certainty if we'll get results, feel fulfilled, change their minds, win their hearts, or save the species. The only thing we can do is try. Keep throwing the sharks back.
Good story. Good story, Jay. So
thanks. Thank you.
I have a couple responses.
Sure.
Throwing sharks back in my own way. Is I try to help people on the street. For example, in my neighborhood in Soho, it's right next to Chinatown, there's a whole lot of very old Chinese women who pick up tin cans. And a lot of them are 70s, 80s. They're invisible to the city. They'll have these two big clear bags on either end of a stick, and they're walking along. And that's, you don't see that except in Asia. But I've befriended a bunch of them, and I've used a little translation program, gotten to know them. And I helped them. I helped them financially. But also, I feel like I've gotten to know this little community, which has been very gratifying. I actually have a podcast called Tin Can Ladies about that. And then I also just try to help people with their suitcase.